No, you clearly like him. You like him a lot. You like the tape. You've compared him a little bit to Patrick Mahomes, who we all know your love of Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
I mean, it's up there with your wife, I would think.
It's up there.
Other people up there.
Greater.
At times, right? It's for all of us.
Yo, 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 what's up? It's Chris Sims Unbuttoned. Ahmed Farid is here. It's a Wednesday afternoon. We're in the middle of our draft talk, and we will be diving into more quarterback conversations. Patrick Mahomes, my wife, it depends. It's debatable. Depends what time of the week, what season it is, right? And, you know, I'm at that age now where, you know, the wife, it's like she's the king of the household. Have you gotten to that age yet? I'm at the age now, I don't know what it is, where it's just like my wife, she's like, she went to like, you're 40, we're 40, and if you divorce me, I get half, you're stuck with me, so I'm going to start calling the shots here and doing whatever I say.
Yeah.
And now it's literally like, it's like happy wife, happy life, yes, wife, yes, 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 Danielle, whatever you want, you know. Like, she'll talk to things like, I know I'm putting you, I'm making you uncomfortable. I know I am. She'll be like, oh, yeah, you know, me and Christopher decided this. And I'll, like, roll my eyes. And she'll be like, what? We decided this together. And I was like, yeah, after 7 months of me saying no and you not taking that answer. And then, yeah, we decided. We decided I had no other choice but to say yes.
Yeah.
That's what we decided.
So when you go, sometimes I like Patrick Mahomes more than my wife. She goes, yeah, and sometimes I like Patrick Mahomes more than you.
I think that's fair.
Like, sign me up for that. Sign me up for that.
It's fair. Exactly right. And then we got my son who likes Patrick Mahomes better than all of us. So we're a messed up family.
But the one thing we know about your family is the love of Patrick Mahomes that sometimes, you know, supercedes everyone in that family.
Right, exactly.
And why wouldn't it? He's an awesome football player.
He is.
But we have some quarterbacks who may be the next Patrick Mahomes. As we talked about last time, we were all together here. Your top five rankings, which, you know, I will say on the, you know, the
how did you gauge it? Right.
Of breaking the internet.
I was scared a little to look too deep into it.
You know, there were a whole lot of people that were like, I'm glad that Hendon Hooker is getting more love.
Good.
And there were a lot of people that were like, I'm glad DTR is getting more love.
That's good to hear.
And so the hate wasn't as much as I would have liked, because you get angry when there's a lot of hate, and I think that's good for the podcast. But I think a lot of people saw what you saw, too.
Well, hopefully. Hopefully I opened up eyes. I do think, you know, that's one thing I will say I noticed, at least from when we released the rankings, is the conversation around those two. Mm-hmm. And I even told you, you know, off the air here about some teams who kind of reached out to me about those guys too, a little bit like, so yeah, I think there's going to be, you know, as it goes through in the process here. And again, like we were talking about on Monday, we're early, you know, most teams are just diving in here and just getting a feel, you know, I told you, I had one coach that was like, oh, whoa, you like DTR? I haven't studied him yet, but there's people in my building that love him. Right. So, you know, we'll see where this whole thing goes here, but, hey, it was a good start, and that's, you know, one of the things I do love about the process. Mm-hmm. And maybe I've even screwed myself in prior years because of that. Whoa, this guy totally exceeds expectations, and why? And then I get animated, too, of why is nobody giving him credit?
Yeah.
And then maybe I bump him up too far, maybe in prior years or whatever. But these guys, this is why I do it. They deserve to be in this conversation. And they're justifiably ranked there, not, you know, again, I self-scout myself. So I try not to get emotionally attached or involved that way. But, yeah, these are six really good quarterbacks, and those two right there have so many things to like that are starting NFL-caliber traits. And, yeah, like I said, I just would be shocked. You know, that is cool to see. I do get sick of, like, every time I look on social media, it's like Zach Wilson, right? That's become my calling card. Zach Wilson, right? That's annoying. So I don't like that. And I want to clap back and be like, damn, I know. Zach Wilson.
After year one, Trevor Lawrence, not a great year. I mean, Urban Meyer was there. There were other circumstances. And Zach Wilson, I mean, like, after
year one.
Well,
what I want to say to everybody is everybody had Zach Wilson number two. It wasn't like I went and, like, took the 12th best quarterback and made him number one.
Yeah.
Like, the consensus was Zach Wilson was two.
Yeah.
I made him one. After a year, I was right. After a year and seven games, I was still right.
Yeah.
And then shit hit the fan.
Yeah.
I mean, so, and then, yeah, you know, of course, Trevor Lawrence played awesome. So, yeah, listen, as of right now, I'm wrong there. Well, definitely. Am I Matt Corral? Kenny Pickett? Certainly. Hey, last year was a tough year, you know, and Kenny Pickett did not blow me away. And I should have put more stock into him playing the position the right way rather than just traits like the other two guys had.
Jury's still out on that whole class. And I want to get to that here in a second, but let's just take a look in case you were not with us on Monday with the rankings that you have for the 2023 class here. And there it is. C.J. Stroud, 1. You got Bryce Young, 2. Hendon Hooker, 3. Anthony Richardson, 4. Then you got DTR Dorian Thompson-Robinson from UCLA, 5. Along with Will Levis. You have a tie for 5.
Yeah.
So you got 6 in your top 5 here. Right. And then we had a comment from B-Ball0130 that said, that's just a list from reddest to bluest uniform. Change my mind.
that's pretty good.
That's a great point.
It is. That is. Yeah, that's how I did it this year. I just said, I'm not sure. Let's go reddest to bluest, and we'll be safe there. And that'll determine it
most
all.
Years that works out anyway. So
if it was truly reddest to bluest, though, technically you would put the orange guy first, right?
Would you?
Right.
Why? What? No, because red is more red than orange. Right? So it'd go red, reddish, and then, yeah, the color wheel, as Pete says here.
I don't know why. I feel like orange should become before red. Like, it's got only got a little red in it, so it's getting there to the more red.
This take is more controversial than your quarterback ranking.
I think we should release it on Twitter. If we were going reddish to bluish, should the orange guy be first or third?
No. That's a landslide, right? Is orange more red than red? That's just listen to yourself right now. This is insane.
Well, orange is not red or blue.
Okay.
So that's what I mean. It's got to have a little, what is orange? Red and yellow mixed together?
Yeah, I don't know where it goes in the spectrum of red to blue. That's a great
Morgan,
question.
Morgan, do you know what I'm saying?
But
here.
I do know that it's
See,
not more
Morgan's
red than
with
red.
Me. She thinks that orange is lesser red than red.
I'll give you that. I don't know where it goes in the spectrum. It is not more red than red.
All right. Well, hopefully the homies can help clear that out. Guys, with miscellaneous non-football tweets at us, tweet us your perspective on that one.
Well, this is why I like to do it, too, because we do want to get the homies' reaction here, because this is a show of the people, you know, and every draft season, it is about the people talking and about consensus and who thinks what. And are we all thinking the same things? And I am fascinated by this every year. And so for the first time ever, I've kind of gone back and I've looked at what does the group think going into the draft?
Right.
What do the NFL teams do?
Right.
And then what are the results of that?
Yeah.
Because I think that's constructive. It's
sure.
like, how good are we at this?
Right.
And we all do kind of coalesce around the same ideas. You obviously push back on that, which is, I think, why you're so popular and why you're so good at this, is that you don't get caught in the groupthink. But I kind of wanted to go back and look at some of these consensus. So real quick, before we get into the homies' questions, before we get into some of the traits of some of these quarterbacks once again, can we do power to the sheeple?
Yeah, let's
power
do it.
To the
power
sheeple.
To the sheeple.
We go back and we look at draft consensus. So let's go back and look at last year here first, because this was, as you've already mentioned, a tough draft class to evaluate. Malik Willis was the consensus number 1.
Yep.
You had him number 2. He was drafted 3rd. Overall, Kenny Pickett was the consensus number 2. You had him 3rd. He was drafted 1 overall. I think a couple interesting ones in this one.
Yeah.
Carson Strong. You heard a lot about him.
Sure.
You did not rank him. He was consensus number 6. He was not drafted.
Right.
So NFL teams saw something that the draft prognosticators did not see with Carson Strong.
Right.
And then, of course, Brock Purdy was the consensus 14th quarterback. No one was on him. 49ers took him as the 9th quarterback. He was the last player taken in the draft.
Right.
And obviously we see what he turned out to be. So I think more or less, like honestly, Chris, I think we could get to the end of this, you know, 5-10 years from now and look at this class and be like, they were all these quarterbacks were about the same and no one was a superstar.
Well, it could be. Kenny Pickett is certainly looking like the clear leader there right now, right? I mean, Malik Willis, we knew he was raw and had some big time traits, and you know, just he struggled last year and the opportunities he did get, and then that was a tough, you know, situation to be thrown into there. You know, Matt Corral, again, I love the physical attributes. You know, and again, as I'll defend myself a little here, just I'm all off of film, too. It's just I'm not into the off-the-field rumors and all that type of stuff there. But, yeah, it was an underwhelming class last year. It definitely was. Pickett's shown that he can play the position the best and do a lot of things, but I don't think he's also shown the he's a superstar. Oh, wow, like – But, again, you don't need that to be successful and be good in the NFL and win games. And
right.
They liked what they got there, and he certainly showed us that he's worthy of being a starting quarterback and got potential.
The 2020 class, Joe Burrow was consensus number 1. He was your number 1, and he was drafted number 1. So
right.
There was really no debate there. We were all on the same thing there.
Yeah.
The NFL teams agreed, and I think that has worked out so far. Now, it's interesting. I think this was a good year for you because – you know, the consensus was that Tua was going to be 2nd, and you had him 3rd. You almost had him 4th
right.
at a time there. I think you had Jordan Love.
Early on, I had Jordan Love in front of him, right.
He was drafted 2nd. I think we've seen at this point, because you had Justin Herbert as your 2nd quarterback, I think we've seen, even the diehardiest of QAnon fans out there would see that Justin Herbert probably is the guy over.
Yeah, sure.
Over to it there. And I also thought it was instructive, Jordan Love, and you were higher on Jordan Love than most.
Yeah.
But I forgot that he was consensus fourth quarterback in that draft. It wasn't crazy.
Right.
And he was drafted as the fourth quarterback, and then Jalen Hurts, of course, fifth. And so I thought that was good for you. You made the distinction between Herbert and Tua, and I think that's that could hold up the test of time.
Thanks. Man. Yeah. Herbert, the physical qualities were there. You know, the decision-making was there. The accuracy was there. Everything was there. Other than that, it wasn't big stats and didn't necessarily mean win games. And, you know, that's where, you try to decipher. It's where I think people make, wrong decisions at times. They get too caught up in that. But, that was an interesting class. I saw Jordan Love's potential and loved it, right? My dad was the one that really got in my ear going back to the time and going, hey, I see his potential too. I like it. But can you really say he's better than Tua right now? And I was like, you know what? You're right. I'm falling a little too in love with what it could be. And that's where I readjusted myself. And that's, part of this process too, is that fine line of, wait, the potential, or wait, it's too raw, and I can't totally bet on the potential because that's a lot of work to get there. Yeah. And that's what you got to kind of decipher through this process.
I'm so curious this year because you mentioned how quickly things can change with, Zach Wilson, Trevor Lawrence. I'm curious, if Jordan Love goes out there and he's been learning under Aaron Rodgers for a couple years now, if he goes out there and I don't think, like I've said with 2022, the jury's still out on this 2020 class.
Right.
And one more I want to look at before we get into some of the traits of our current quarterbacks here is 2016. I thought this was an interesting draft.
Cool.
And this one pretty much went chalk. You had Jared Goff, who was the consensus number one, drafted first. Then you had Carson Wentz after him. Then you had Paxton Lynch, who the prognosticators thought he's the third best quarterback. And the NFL agreed, and they were both wrong on Paxton Lynch. I thought it was interesting. Connor Cook out of Michigan State was the fourth consensus. NFL was a little wiser there. Took him as the seventh off the board.
Right.
And then you also had Dak Prescott in that draft, who was the consensus sixth best quarterback in the draft. Not as low as I thought. I always kind of thought he was more off the board maybe, but he was still in the mix. He was drafted as the eighth quarterback off the board. And then, of course, the New England Patriots going off the board as they do many, many years with Jacoby Brissett, who was consensus 12th best quarterback. They saw something in him. They took him as the sixth quarterback off the board, and he has had an awesome NFL career. So
I was getting involved in that process a little bit during that time. Really, 2015, that would probably be my first marquee draft of where I said, no, Derek Carr over Teddy Bridgewater, Johnny Manziel, and Blake Bortles, right?
Ooh.
That would be the first one. 2016, I had Carson Wentz 1, Goff 2, right? I think I had Paxton Lynch 3. I'm pretty sure I had Jacoby Brissett 4, maybe 4 or 5. Jacoby Brissett, again, he fits, me well enough to know he fits what I like. I mean, big, strong arm, right? So I saw that and I went, well, he's going to fit in a lot of offenses here. I don't know how good he'll be, but with this group right here, right? And then Dak Prescott was the one where, I talked about him a little in the process. He was one of my first to really pound in my own brain of competition, your team compared to their team, stats, wins, losses. Don't be so fucking obsessed with that. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be the reason of where you rank the quarterback. That was one of my first come-to moments after my playing career was over to go, because I had a lot of people go, how'd you miss on Dak? And I was like, man, I liked a lot about Dak, but I think I probably put the team's troubles on him a little too much, and that led me to ranking him too low in that process.
You go never again, and then one day a Patrick Mahomes type goes through, and you watch his tape, and you go, you know what? He's awesome, even if his team's not awesome.
Exactly right. And maybe that was part of my jump off because it was the next draft, the next year, where I went down that limb of Patrick Mahomes, certainly. And, that was a good one.
And you have Dak to thank here.
Thank you, Dak.
All right, Pete. Pete is highlighting in our rundown right now. It is now time to go to the traits of some of these quarterbacks, because get to the homies and pushing back on some of your rankings, because I think that's good. It's like, does it stand up to the rigors of the questioning from the homies?
Sure.
Right? Your 2023 rankings. But let's go through and kind of get a better idea of what you think each of these 2023 quarterbacks does well.
Right.
Who's the best at each of these traits?
I think it's a good exercise. I like this.
This is a good exercise to kind of pin down exactly what these guys do well and what they might not do well. So let's start with accuracy.
Right.
And that's always a big thing. You hear the debates out there. Oh, Josh Allen doesn't have accuracy. Or is it just that he throws a million miles an hour and his receivers can't catch it? Who has the best and who has the most concerning accuracy among the quarterbacks in the 2023 draft class?
Oh, that one to me is C.J. Stroud. For sure. The best. Yes. I think when you break it down, you know, intermediate, deep ball, short passing game, on the money, you know, touch throws, power throws, you know, people around me on my back leg still can put it in a really positive spot. That's where I look at him to be ultra, ultra accurate. Now, hey, listen, some nuance there. Bryce Young and those 5 to 12, 10 to 12, 15, you know, 5 to 15 yard range, definitely in that class, right? Mm-hmm. Definitely. And maybe even has a little bit of an advantage in some of the quicker throws where I go, oh, well, maybe he is a hair more accurate than C.J. Stroud, but not by enough to where it makes up. And then, you know, where I've gotten into with Young, who's extremely accurate, it is some of the power throws when you got to put a little oof into it that he can lose control of the football at times. So that's where I would go C.J. Stroud. Hooker and DTR are in that conversation. They are. Hooker, certainly, but not quite up there to that capacity. And DTR, same thing. It's close, but not quite in the young C.J. Stroud. And I give Stroud the ultimate accuracy, you know, award there.
I'm getting the feeling as we go through this, it's going to become very obvious why you like C.J. Stroud so much. I mean, you did call him like a perfect prospect.
He's really good. Well, I think what I'll see, and then we'll see here. And again, I didn't map this out. I know what we got coming here, and I already know where I kind of got these guys as far as these departments are concerned. But I think what we're going to see here as we go is that, yeah, C.J. Stroud's not going to be low on any of them.
Yeah.
That's one thing to, you know, watch as we go here.
Most concerning accuracy?
I think that if we're going to go there, I mean, you're going to Richardson and Levis, okay? And yeah. I would say Richardson probably as of right now, just because, you know, and Levis isn't far behind. They're too talented to miss too many throws, you know, to miss some of the throws we've talked about,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, they both have some mechanical issues that I don't love. But, yeah. I think that Richardson right now maybe has a little bit more meat left on the bone in that department.
Yeah.
You know.
And as we go through these two, I mean, I think we want to emphasize again, these are the best of the best, right?
Exactly.
So if it's
right.
Like most concerning, it's like most concerning of the best of the best. And so, and if there's, if we get to one of these categories where you think like, I'm not really that concerned about any of these top five quarterbacks in this category, I think you feel free to say that.
I will say in this category here, I'm not like, see, the thing that I will like about Levis and Richardson is that there is no – I'm not overly concerned about it.
Sure.
It's not as good as I would like, right? But they are both natural enough throwers to where I go, if they get around the right people and taught just one or two things,
yeah,
they're going to be able to fix these issues.
Right.
To where it doesn't – like, I don't go, oh, wow, you know, you got to drop them off the board here because it's such a big problem. It's not to that extent. Like,
so,
you said, it's best of the best we're talking here.
And they both excel more in the arm strength category. So who has the best arm strength in your mind? I'm kind of curious to pick your brain about this, too, because there's arm strength and then there's, like, usable arm strength, right?
Right? That's right. Well, when you just go sheer power, you're going Anthony Richardson.
Okay.
Right? And then behind that, you're going Will Levis. The sheer power, yes. I mean, and then, of course, I mean, Richardson wins, though. Richardson makes a few throws where you got to rewind the tape and go, like, what? Did he really throw it that hard? Or did that ball really travel that way and get into the receiver's hands? Wow. Yeah. Like, so that is where he does win that. Now, you know, the nuance to that conversation, you know, because like I said, I think if you took like Richardson's five best throws and Levis's five best throws, they might make us say wow more than anybody else in the top, you know, six quarterbacks, right? But I think also, too, if we took their 20 hardest throws, right, the throws would be like, oh, they threw it as hard as they could. 10 of them might be really good, but the other 10 might be off target. Where I can get into C.J. Stroud and go, yeah, it might not quite have the miles per hour, But on those 20 where he threw it as hard as he can, could, he was all over the strike zone, right? The worst one was like, oh, just a bit off the plate, you know, could have been a strike, could have been a ball, right? I mean, that so that's where when he steps on the gas, that's where I do love him. He never loses control of the football. But just as far as pure power in his arm,
yeah,
no, he's not there with Richardson or Levis.
Concerned about the arm strength for any in your top five?
No, I only get concerned a little with, like, you know, some of the things I talked about, I think, with a little with Bryce Young, that I like back shoulder balls, you know, 15, 20 yards down the field. They're outside the numbers. We're by the sidelines, right? A lot of these guys can do that with ease. It's really one of the least impressive things he does. It's very rarely complete, right? Cover two hole shots, things like that. You know, so, his ultimate elite arm power strength, it bothers me a little bit. I'm not going to say it's a concern, though.
Got it. How about the Mahomes magic?
Yeah.
The versatile arm angles, the sidearm, the over, the under the arm of outstretched defensive tackle.
Right. That's a good way to say it. The Mahomes factor. That's where Bryce Young wins. Mm. Bryce Young wins that for sure. You know, that's where he's as slick as I've seen coming out of college is with that stuff. Yes. Sidearms, cockeyed throws, you know, leaning back and throwing sidearm. You know, like I talked about the other day, like the quickness to get it out of his hands on a slant or a screen and just the way he can do it. And then also the element of like kind of running or moving and then just seeing a guy come open and going, well, I don't know where my feet are, but I'm just going to get it up and get it out and get it to the guy. He's magical that way. This is where the guy is like, I go into the natural or the guy that can play the position. That's where he's just got a great feel. And you could tell he's thrown a lot of footballs and played a lot of backyard football in his life because of that.
Do you think that's a necessity
Yes.
now for quarterbacks to
Yes.
have? You do.
It's a necessity. It is. Now, there's some, you know, hey, you get on a few teams, great protection, team's awesome. Okay, it's maybe not as necessary, you know. A guy like Hendon Hooker, who's really big, maybe not as necessary because he just, I'll throw over them. I got a high release and I can do that maybe a little bit more. But as for, for kind of a broader statement, as, you know, diverse as the offenses are with the quick throws, the screens, the RPOs, as good as the defensive linemen have gotten, you got to be able to, you know, change some release points and be able to throw the ball from some awkward positions this day in the NFL. There's too many games, even with good football teams, where I go, oh, look, this team's good. And the quarterback really only threw from a perfect pocket like six times out of 30 throws for the day. Everything else was, oh, he had a shuffle here, move here, or, you know, step up and kind of be on the run or whatever. And it's just more a part of the game than I think maybe we even all realize as we're watching on TV on Sundays.
So the one guy you'd like to see it a little bit more, would it be Hendon Hooker, even though
he's
Hooker, tall that, and doesn't need to maybe
as
much?
But that is a part of his game where, love to see a little more bounce in his feet, few more cockeyed, you know, feet throws, sidearm, stuff like that. And even the quickness of his release at times. He can throw screens and he just stands up straight and he throws it. It's not slow, but you go, you're a better athlete. You could do that quicker and sexier and get that ball out there with a little more pace and accuracy. And that's, again, where, you know, coaching and being pushed and, you know, no one's really ever taught me that. Like throwing screens to the receivers and bubble screens. Nobody ever taught me one fucking thing about it until I got with Josh McDaniels in Denver in 2009.
Wow.
He taught me a little trick and I went, oh, shit.
What was the trick?
Well, he basically, like, get the ball like you're you know, you'd get the ball in the shotgun and you'd get it. You try to flip it around your hands and throw it out there, right? Like the traditional way.
Right.
He kind of taught, like, take it, get it into your gut a little bit, almost like a shortstop or a second baseman, and that'll just give you the rhythm to kind of sling it out there quick. And then as you kind of got that underneath, got used to that, then you can start to speed it up. And, okay, now I got it sidearm. And it was just one little coaching point that gave me a rhythm and a thought that I went, ooh, this makes it easier.
So it's almost like receiving the snap is part of your motion.
Exactly right. Wow. Or even almost like now what we see, almost the faking of the running back on the RPO. It's almost like that, except you're just not sticking it out there quite as long. But that gave you a little rhythm and timing with it that allowed you to, you know, shoot it out there a little quicker. And nobody had ever taught me or said anything like that to me to that point.
I wonder how he learned that.
I know. And that's, you know, of course, well, when he starts off the statement of, you know, this is what I did with Tom Brady, you're like, huh? Okay, yep, what? I'll write it down. Yeah, what did you do with him?
Yeah.
I'll do that. And hey, this is what we taught Tom. This is why he was so good at it. And you're like, oh, shit, okay, yeah, this works. I like this.
Tom was pretty good in the pocket,
yep,
sensing pressure, moving around in the pocket. Of these quarterbacks, who's best at that?
Yeah, this is a tight one, and there's some nuance to this too. That's where this is where I'll say Levis is the worst in this department.
Okay,
all right. Now, even saying that he's the worst, though, if we were going to broaden this pocket thing out, you know, if we added the element of we'll stand in there and throw and get his fucking head knocked off. He's pretty high up in that department,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, even though he's the worst as far as moving in the pocket, sometimes he drifts into trouble, sometimes he fades away for no reason, stuff like that. Man, even though he's going to be the worst in the department, I'm going to tell you, as far as standing in there, being tough like an NFL quarterback needs to be,
right,
he's really awesome in that department.
So depending on what we mean by this question, it
exactly
changes your answer.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
You know, I think overall here, though, this is where I will go with C.J. Stroud again. I will. Now, it's close.
Because Bryce, that's one of the biggest things you see about Bryce is, man, he manipulates that pocket so well.
He does. He really does. And then his ability to make people miss and all that. But presence is also presence, pocket presence. And there are times that you've heard my concern where I go, things get a little tight, and his presence and my confidence in his presence to make that throw with people bearing down on him and things getting a little close quarters there, that's where I'm going to give C.J. Stroud the advantage, because him and Hooker are unaffected by that. It's like there's so many throws where you go, they're fucking fearless. I mean, they're about to get killed, and they don't even blink. They don't even know the guy's about to kill them, even though they do. So that's where I give it. And then there's a lot more of a subtle sliding and moving from them that, again, I think if we watched film together, you'd go, oh, damn, yeah, you know, I watched that game on Saturday back in October. I didn't really realize how many times he made a little move or just slid in the right spot to make the right throw. So I'm going to go C.J. Stroud there. Young is too. You're right about that. Yeah, I told you my little concern.
Yeah.
But, yeah, him finding soft spots, sliding in the right area, you know, like I talked about on Sunday, kind of running up into a hole. Oh, wait, the crosser's open and just letting it go, right? He's great at that stuff. Mm. He is. You know, Stroud has a little of all of it. That's where I like Stroud in the pocket. Hooker is more of like, I'm just going to stand here and be tough. Richardson is good in the pocket. You know, to the point where, like I said on Monday, sometimes I go, no, get the fuck out of the pocket and run. You're too good of a runner to just stand there and keep going, he'll come open, right? But he has a great feel for it, and he's unaffected, you know? So it's a group that's all pretty good in that department. I wish there was a little more from Levis, but I'm going to give overall, the C.J. Stroud the advantage in that department.
And you have compared C.J. Stroud to Joe Burrow,
right,
who I think in your years of evaluating quarterbacks, is Joe Burrow number one as a decision maker?
Yes.
In the pocket?
Yes.
Anticipation?
Definitely.
All right, so who in this draft class is most like Joe Burrow as a decision maker? Is that C.J. Stroud once again?
It's those top two again.
Yeah.
I'll give Bryce Young the edge here.
Okay.
I will. I mean, Bryce does some things that are a little like Joe Burrow, where you're like, holy shit, he saw that fast. Whoa, I didn't even see that. I'm watching film. He got it up and got into a hole, like, right away. Like, I don't even think the receiver was expecting that. You know, his ability to go through reads and get to the right spot quickly is really special. C.J. Stroud is very good in that department, too. And where C.J. Stroud furthers it and is a little different is that, you know, it's like one aggressive throw to another aggressive throw decision. Bryce isn't always like that. Bryce might be a hair more conservative where he goes, wait, aggressive throw's not open. Let me just look to something here and just get 5 yards so we can be in second and six, second and five, and move on that way, too. But, yeah, his you know, his smarts are certainly one of the greatest qualities he has. And it jumps out when you watch their offense and watch him make decisions on a play-by-play basis.
All right, so who is the dumbest quarterback? who doesn't work through their progressions and reads maybe as quickly as you want?
It's the two you would think. You know, Stroud, Young, Hooker, and DTR are all really good in that department. Okay? Richardson, hey, we have moments in games like I talked about where you go, damn, he's on the money and seeing the field, great. But then there's other games where you go, I'm not sure what he's looking at or what he's doing here. And there's a little bit of that with Levis too. So I would say in that department, really, probably Richardson's still the least in that department. But it's not by a ton. It's not, and it's not to like a point where I'm going, oh man, this guy, he can't do it. He can't play quarterback. So that's, again, I want to make sure we emphasize that to your point. This is the best of the best we're talking about here,
yeah.
Right?
In his progression as a quarterback, he might be ahead of the curve, right? It's like
he's early stages.
Right.
Yeah. He's early stages. He's just getting used to things.
Yeah.
See, that's the beauty of him. And that's where a lot of this is going to come down with him, is just about the human. Because everybody's going to see the ability. It's just going to be like, you know, anything I've heard is the kid's a good kid. He loves football. You know, now can that be portrayed to the rest of the league and the coaches and everybody,
yeah,
to where they go, yeah, there's raw, but damn, he's smart. We taught him something. He gets it. He knew it right away. You know, I taught him something about throwing and he picked it up right away, just like Josh McDaniels taught me about the screen.
Yeah.
Right. As long as you got that kind of guy, then you're willing to deal with some of the rawness. And I think that's the kind of guy he is. But, yeah, he's the least in that department right now.
You go, he's a good kid. And then he walks up, he's 6'4", 244. And you're like, you go, giant
a good
kid.
Man. Very,
yeah, grown man at this point. All right, a couple more categories here. And this is good because mm-hmm. we're kind of nailing down exactly what you saw with some of these guys. I don't think we necessarily went into it this deeply on some of the skills and traits on Monday. How about throwing on the run?
Yeah, this is Bryce Young.
Accuracy. So this is like accuracy on the run,
right,
with this question. And this, so this is Bryce Young.
Yeah, this is Bryce Young.
Okay.
You know, that's where he, like we talked about, is special. He is. And, you know, honestly, second in that department is C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
Stroud is not as sexy and doesn't have quite the different releases and all that. But, man, Stroud on the run is like, it's automatic. You know, so I love that, right? Mm-hmm. But Young is automatic too, and then Young has, you know, no look, sidearm. I'm looking over here, and the last second I came across the middle to get him on the run. You know, does have the different ways he could throw the ball when he is running, and he's even really good to his unnatural side, running to the left and throwing the ball that way. C.J. Stroud, very good in that department. You know, Hooker, Richardson and Levis have a – Richardson has some wow throws on the run. They have at times they try to be too quarterbacky and get over the top of the ball. And that can lead, like, when you're on the run, you can't think, I'm going to get over the top of the ball. You're running, and if you want to be able to create it, you got to use the around to create that torque to throw the ball down the field. And that's where, you know, Stroud, Young – and DTR, I think, are better than the other three in that department for sure. Yeah,
got it.
Yeah.
So you can split it right in half.
Yeah,
in the top
pretty
right
much.
There.
And I'm going to give Young the lead there, and Stroud second, and DTR third.
How about kind of related to this?
Yeah,
playmaking off script.
Right.
So when the play breaks down and you got to make something up, and what your coach wanted to happen doesn't happen, who do you want taking the snap?
This is one where. This is like, I think I'm into the Richardson, DTR, Bryce Young conversation here, right? Stroud, this is not like, this is the thing we want to see more of, right? I think there's untapped potential here. We've gotten to see that he can do this, and he does it a little bit more than people realize, but not a ton. Young wins this.
Mm.
Young wins this. I mean... Now, again, some of this is a little bit of our conversation of, like, I don't know if he's going to have these luxuries if he's not at Alabama,
yeah,
right? And that's what you got to decipher. Because he drops back, there's nobody around him. Nobody's open. Okay, he runs to the left. Still nobody around him, but nobody's open. Oh, wait, now somebody breaks through. He makes the guy miss. Now he runs to the right. He sets up. They're still blocking the damn pass rushers. Nobody's open. Oh, somebody got free. Oh, he makes the guy miss. And so there's some of that where it's like, damn, is that, I don't know if he's going to have quite that much space and room in the NFL against some of these defenders. I do think it's the Alabama factor, but that's where he is special. His patience, especially for a smaller guy, to let things develop or, wait, I'm not going to run here and I'm going to set up again. Okay, wait, nothing's open. Okay, I'll make this guy miss. All right, I'm going to set up again and make a throw. It's pretty special for a college football player. You don't see that very often or that kind of like – again, that's where I get into the natural. He's like – he's wise for somebody his age. Mm-hmm. It's a more mature way to play the game where usually, you know, quarterbacks don't get that part until a few years, even into the NFL, where they start to go, wait, scramble, set up, scramble again, set up, right? I mean, Josh Allen and Mahomes didn't even do that stuff really in college a ton. So that's where, he's damn good in that department.
All right, so who would you like to see more of that from, or who isn't able to improvise?
Yeah, well, you know, like Stroud, as we said, has an untapped potential there. He does. Levis is the other one that I would say, yeah, you don't see a ton of that. You don't. I think he's capable. He is, but his throwing on the run isn't always the best. And like I said, his feel at time is off to me. Just his overall feel for, ooh, how do I need to throw this ball? Where do I need to step in the pocket? When should I scramble and buy time and do that? You know, when should I tuck the ball away so it doesn't get stripped here while I'm in the middle of people? It's stuff like that that kind of just throws me a little off with Levis.
Last category, running ability.
Well,
can I do this one?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I'll take the guy who's 244 pounds and runs, what, 4.4? 4. Yeah, I'll take
4.44, I believe, at 244. Yeah. Yes. And like we just talked about, he hasn't even reached his potential in this department. Because he can do more scrambling and backyard stuff. Mm. But, I mean, whether it's the scrambling or just the quarterback design run stuff, I mean, come on. That's why for a guy like him and you're willing to, you know, draft him in the top half of the first round with some of the questions that we are talking about that in most years, if you talked about a player, we're like, oh, he doesn't always read the field great and, oh, he can be a little inaccurate. I mean, that never is a top 15 pick, right? But when you couple it together with, whoa, that size, that ability to run, oh, and he's a good kid and he likes to work, okay, fine. We can deal with some of those issues. We can fix them. But his running is, yeah, it's off the charts.
Yeah.
It's off the charts. It's not even – they didn't even take full advantage of it at Florida. You know, and I don't know why. They might have been – maybe they were being nice and not trying to wear him out or have him take unnecessary punishment as a college football player. But there was certainly a lot of games where I was like, surely they're going to pull the guard and run Richardson up the middle here, right? Whoa, they're not. They're going to throw it. Whoa, they're throwing a screen. So, yeah, I think he's – in the NFL, I actually think he's going to end up being a better runner than he was in college.
So you think right now in the NFL, Justin Fields, do you think he's the most dynamic running quarterback?
Yes.
Could Anthony Richardson be more dynamic than Justin Fields even?
I don't know if he's going to be as highlight – like 70 yards down the sideline.
Okay.
I think it's a little mixture of that. We'll see a few of those, but you know, we're going to see some of that Cam Newton too, where we're going to be like, oh my gosh, he made a nice move in the hole and then lowered his shoulder on that safety and got 12 yards. He ran over a safety at the 6 yard mark and got 6 more yards. That's where, you know, that's where I think he's going to be different than anybody we've ever seen. Or it's going to be a combination of, like, Fields and Cam Newton together.
Yeah.
And that's where that could be very exciting.
It'll be fascinating, too, because you want to do what the quarterback does best, right? But at the same time, we saw with Trey Lance last year, he was hurt first game, basically, of the season. So it's like you have to balance it in the NFL.
He is so gifted, and your point is right.
Yeah.
He's so gifted and so big that I feel like he never has to, like, put himself out there a little too. Like, he has plays where he's, like, he tiptoes, like, oh, there's three people about to converge on him. And he kind of tiptoes because he's not going to let them hit his knees and all that. And he kind of just bottles himself up. And he kind of takes the hits and rolls off them. And you're like, damn, he got 7 more yards. There was 3 people that just hit him there. But he kind of protects himself that way and does never really ever put himself in a position or positions where I went, ooh, you know, he's vulnerable there. He needs to watch out there. You know, so that's where I think he understands how to protect himself. And because he's so physically gifted, he doesn't need to be like, I got to run through the hole 1,000 miles per hour and lower my shoulder and go crazy that way. He's just always under control that way.
Well, you mentioned this with your dad one time, too, yeah. And I think it's a really interesting point is that people think that the running quarterbacks are more apt to get injured because they're just taking more hits. But you mentioned with him, and he agreed that when you're a running back, you can kind of dictate how you take the hit and if you slide, and if you go out of bounds and put a shoulder down, where sometimes when you're in the pocket, you can't dictate that. You're just at the mercy of where the defender is, where you are.
100%. I think if we took a look at Justin Fields' worst hits last year, very few of them are when he's quarterback design runner running the football. It's always like he's in the pocket, he's avoiding a guy, and now, oh man, everything's collapsing, he avoids this guy, and then it's, oh, I spun out to avoid this guy and got crushed by a guy I didn't see, right?
Yeah.
It was always those type of plays where you're worried about it. And that's where you just want to go, hey, the play's over, just go down and take the sack, right? And that's where you hope he got a little feel for it, and I think he does. But, yeah, he's a more natural thrower than Justin Fields. Like, his motion to me is more conducive to we can fix some of the issues than Justin Fields was. I mean, you know me, I was a little low on Justin Fields in that department.
Yeah.
And I think, hey, we're seeing why. I mean, it's people are still questioning those things. You know, his fix was harder to me than what Anthony Richardson's fix is as far as the mechanics are. Richardson just has to learn to use his body a little bit.
Yeah.
The motion is really flawless. And yeah, with Fields, there was more to it than that.
Can I ask you this, too? And this is a little bit of a tangent, but because we're just talking about Justin Fields right there and the Chicago Bears traded down from the number one, they had their pick.
Yeah.
They had their pick of quarterbacks in this draft class.
Right.
From what you've seen from the quarterbacks after looking into them, should they have stayed number one and taken a quarterback?
No. I wouldn't have traded away what you got with Justin Fields for any of that. You know, one, you know, I think C.J. Stroud's the guy. And, okay, if you just were like, fine, we don't want to run this quarterback run design thing and we're sold that he can't develop any more in the passing game, then, yeah, you go C.J. Stroud, definitely. But, you know, you can't be sold that he's not going in the right direction as far as throwing the football. And then, you know, I just don't think, you know, like we talked about at the time, you just don't trade away that skill set he's got right now. You know, they could do something special with that. So, no, I'm all for it. Mm. Pick number 9. There should be a marquee defensive player. There's some sort of marquee player there.
Yeah.
Shit. And even if they just go away, there's not a marquee guy there at a position we need. I wouldn't be shocked if you saw the Bears trade down again. It's obviously on Ryan Pohl's radar. He talked about wanting to do 2 trade downs even in this whole process. You know, but he was smart. He didn't want to mess with it. But who's to say? Who's to say at pick number 9? Anthony Richardson still available, Hendon Hooker, whatever, and Team X and number 20 starts to go, damn, he's there. We like him. Let's go do it. And now they're picking and get another first-round pick for next year, right? So he's got a lot of possibilities here. I like what he did. I do.
Yeah, it really would be, would you trade C.J. Stroud for Justin Fields for another first-round pick for D.J. Moore? And as it piles up in the assets that the Bears got, it's like a no-brainer.
Exactly.
Stay the course and take all those extra assets.
That's right.
Who doesn't run in this draft class, and maybe who you don't want to run?
like as far as a runner?
Yeah, like running ability. Yeah. That's just not part of their game, and maybe
they all got it. Here's the interesting thing. This is a fun class, and again, this is where I get to the number one guy has the least questions for me, but I think if we put all 6 of these guys in a race, a 50-yard race, 40-yard race, whatever, that Bryce Young's coming in last, right? I don't know how great of a runner he's going to be.
Yeah,
he's got wow releases, but not a wow arm. He's a wow scrambler, but not a wow runner to me. So that's just an interesting aspect there. And then Levis, as we talked about, it's not a big part of his game. I do think he can do it. You know, he's shown it. I mean, he's athletic enough. Certainly can run, and he can take shots and lower his shoulder. You get to see some of that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the best runners of the group is Richardson and DTR. Those are the two guys that you just go, they can be really dangerous if they break the pocket. Young, I think, can be to a degree, and as we saw with C.J. Stroud, I think there's potential to really grow in this department. He, again, it's almost like Joe Burrow in that sense too. It's a lot more slippery, and the movement in the pocket is really damn good. Mm-hmm. And we didn't see Joe start to run here until like year two of his NFL career, right? And I think that could be one of those things with C.J. Stroud once he starts to realize, okay, wait, I got all the other quarterback stuff down. Now the next element is when to take off. Let me start using my legs as a threat. And I think he's going to get to that point.
So that was the one category where you have Bryce Young down lower, but you had him first in a number of these categories. Obviously, you like C.J. Stroud, who's near the top in a lot of these categories. Let me just ask you this before we move on to the homies' questions. If Bryce Young were 6'3", 215, like C.J. Stroud, do you think he'd be your number one quarterback?
It'd be closer, but I still think it would come down to some of those throws we're talking about. You know, yeah, of course, the size scares me, definitely. Mm-hmm. I mean, but, you know, would the arm get better with that size too? You know, I don't know. You know, that's where you know, I get bothered by, like I said, those type of throws. Throws that I look at to go, no, these are consistently things that happen in the NFL and that you got to be able to do. And that's, again, where I thought C.J. Stroud had a clear advantage over him. You know, whether it is the power throws, the big throws down the field, into tight coverages, tight windows. And then, of course, when you couple that with the people around him and the people to do that, is very limited great throws in that department and Bryce Young's tape and that. And then C.J. Stroud, I go, man, there's a lot of plays where things are closing in on him. He's not fazed by it, and he makes a big-time throw.
Okay.
So, you know, yeah, it'd make me feel better. And maybe he'd be up in tier one with Stroud. Maybe that's the better way to say it.
Yeah.
Instead of the tier, you know, being separate that way.
Yep. Yep. All right. Put a pin in that because there's more questions from the homies about Bryce Young and how you've evaluated him. But I do want to remind you that it's a new MLB season.
Oh, baby. Ahmed Farid's going to be there.
We got new rules, new stars. So pair it with the Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide. Get all the player profiles, rankings, projections to dominate your league. Go to NBCSportsEdge.com/draft guide. Use Pennant25 to save 25% at checkout. I got one of those magazines. I'm in one of those magazines. Getting my own team in a mock draft.
Great.
And I think the team would be awesome.
There you go.
If we played it out. So there, I tweeted about it last night. There I am. They still have, like, magazine stands.
I know, right? It is kind of funny when you see them. Where are you is right.
I am actually.
Supermarket? CVS?
I was in Florida there. That was from a couple weeks ago.
I see a 10, like an aisle 10 up there.
Right? I forget what the store was called there, but it was a good big supermarket there in Florida. Yeah. It was when we were there in Orlando, and I was getting my tan on. And,
yeah, good.
And so
I'm excited for baseball season.
Oh, I'm so pumped. And we had the World Baseball Classic. It came down to Trout versus Ohtani.
I know. I went to bed a little bit before that happened, but I would have liked to see that. I went to bed.
Oh, you went to bed.
Like they call it sleep, you know.
I wanted to bet. I was like, bet on the outcome of that at bat? What? Oh, yeah, you fell asleep. Yeah, you have to get up early.
Yes,
I think that's an underrated part of your life that people don't realize is how early you get up all the time.
Yeah.
So baseball season's coming up. Get your Roto-World draft guide.
Go Yankees.
All right, so here we go. It is time for hashtag Ask Me Anything. We love this. The homies get to chime in, push back on your quarterback rankings. Go, wow, you're crazy, which we always like.
Yes.
Let's start with this one from A. Bailey 8. Chris, how many of these quarterbacks would have been QB1 in the 2022 draft over Matt Corral, Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis?
Oh, shit. That's a good question.
How many of these guys would you have number one last year?
I think my top three guys I would have had probably all over at number one.
So Hendon Hooker would have been the number one quarterback last year.
I think so, yeah. Yeah, for me, right. You know, and again, I'm taking ACL out of this right now.
Yeah.
You're just talking about the player and what I've seen on film. Yeah, I would. I would say those three would have all made me feel more comfortable than that group last year. You know, I mean, we talked about it. Corral, I love his physical tools and all that. Yeah, his size, the offense, some inconsistencies in decision making and staying on receivers too long and all that. You know, those were, you know, things that bother me for sure. Those three right there that I'm talking about, you know, I feel really comfortable with them. The only question I have is just, Young and the size thing. That's scary. Mm-hmm. But the rest of those, you know, my top three, damn, they check a lot of boxes for me.
Yeah. All right, that's good.
Yeah.
I want to start with number two here,
okay,
and Bryce Young, because we got questions on all your quarterbacks here. But I think some of the most interesting ones are Bryce Young, because that is a name that you will see number one on a lot of people's lists, mm-hmm, and maybe that will change now as this podcast gets out there. And people are like, wait, what, Chris likes C.J. Stroud? Oh, yeah, I always like C.J. Stroud, too. Yeah, I liked him over Bryce Young. You might hear that more and more. Vamos for Ramos says, people like to make the Bryce Young-Kyler Murray size comparison, but what do you think of a Bryce Young-Doug Flutie comparison?
That's an interesting one. It's not a Kyler Murray comparison.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the same. Kyler Murray is arguably the fastest person on the football field. This is like, we're talking about like Kyler Murray, every game he steps on the field, it's a race between him, the top corner in on the other team, the top receiver on the other team, and his top corner and his top receiver, and it's who's faster.
Yeah.
That's where, you know, it's different. Also, Kyler Murray's arm is explosive. That's where it's a little different than Bryce Young, too. That's why, I mean, Kyler Murray, when he came out, it was like there was no thought. It was like he's number one. Yeah, there's risks about the size, but holy crap. You know, you would shoot yourself if you're like, man, I didn't pick him, and they picked him, and he's a superstar now. I mean, he's the fastest guy in the field, and he has a really strong arm. What was I thinking?
Right.
And he's not an idiot, too. So that's where it's a little different. But Bryce Young, you know, from a traditional standpoint, does do some things maybe better than Kyler Murray did in that department. And that's maybe where he's a little more Doug Flutie.
Yeah, I'm looking at Doug Flutie.
Yeah.
5'10",
right.
180.
Yeah.
That's very similar. I mean, that's basically Bryce Young.
Very similar.
The only difference is he's 60. Bryce
yeah.
is a lot.
He might not be able to take the pounding anymore.
Exactly.
And
I love Flutie, Doug. I love Doug
Flutie. He can run a little.
He was like my favorite quarterback.
But he could scramble. And I think that's what maybe more Bryce Young is. I kind of like that comparison. I think that's a good one by you, Vamos for Ramos.
This is a question that I saw a couple people say.
Yeah.
Sifo Bain says to you, yo, Sims, I understand some of your concerns about Bryce Young, but I completely disagree that he had stellar protection. Unlike Ohio State, they don't have any first-round picks on their offensive line, and it seemed like Young was under pressure all last year. He finishes it by saying, appreciate you.
Yeah.
So even though he's throwing some back, which we like from the homies, you know, we do like pushback on this podcast.
Totally.
And especially when it's coming from the homies and people who understand what we do here. So I think we have the draft projected lineman here, and Ohio State has Paris Johnson, who's projected to go in the first round.
Right.
They have Jones, who's a second rounder. They got, who is that, Luke Whipler in the third round. And then you got the Bama guys who are in the fourth round. So what do you make of the argument that actually CJ had the better offensive line and Bryce did not?
Well, I've never was trying to say like C.J. Stroud's O line was horrible or anything like that.
Yeah,
did I see more NFL related, you know, throws with the pocket collapsing and all that? Yes, but, like, again, what's the outlook for the other three linemen on Alabama for next year's draft? Are they all top 10 picks? This is, you can't really just go by that, is what I would tell you, Sifo Bain.
Yeah,
and I would also tell you that really the, you know, Alabama's ability to run the ball was greater than Ohio State's, too. But I will disagree in the fact that, you know, like the part where you're talking about was under pressure all year. This is where I think people need to go back and watch. And I think people are thinking of plays where they go under pressure. And I'm going to go, no, he had 7 seconds at first. And then he ran around a little bit and then became under pressure. I've watched 6 games. I mean, it's some of the greatest protection I've ever seen, ever. Like, he sits there and pats the ball for 7 seconds sometimes, and nobody is around him even at that point. So I don't agree with that sentiment.
That's interesting.
Know?
I'm looking ahead here.
Right.
And it looks like, you know, they already have mock drafts out there for 2025.
Yeah,
can you believe it? Some people are working all the time.
Actually. But what are you saying? Any Bama guys there?
Yeah, Elijah Pritchett, apparently. Tyler Booker, you know, first or second round type prospects this early on. And
right.
for next year's class, it looks like
Alabama's
got a guy, C.J. Latham, who's maybe a first, second round guy. So,
right,
yeah.
right.
No, not that Ohio State doesn't also have those guys.
No,
but.
Exactly. And again, I wasn't trying to say that, like, you know, C.J. Stroud was under pressure all the time. I just was trying to more make the statement of Bryce Young's protection to me was as good as I've – I mean, it is phenomenal. So, you know, I have a hard time coming up with a game off the top of my head out of the five or six that I watch, maybe other than LSU, where I don't even feel like they pressured him off the top of my head. In fact, they played a lot of coverage and did three-man rushes and stuff like that. So, yeah, I can't totally agree with that sentiment. And, you know, again, the pressure, there's so much context to all of that to where it just I don't just go to a scouting site and go, whoa, they said that. You know, some of these people working for these sites don't know shit. I'm just sorry. I don't know what else to tell you guys out there. I know some of these people that work there. They don't know shit. So sorry. I don't care what they say and how they tally the numbers.
Yeah, they're friends of mine. I know them. Yeah.
But my basic thing with the pressure thing was just how I explained it earlier. It's just about what does he look like when the pocket collapses? That's only the point I was trying to make there more than anything. And that's one of my areas that I do get concerned with Bryce Young.
So more on C.J. Stroud. And this one's kind of like the same lines as that one. So maybe some similar things, but framed in a different way. This one comes from New York Lion, actually, Pete. The New York Lion tweet that says,
is this you?
This is not me. No, yeah, that's true. I'd be the Connecticut Lion.
Yeah.
What I don't see with Stroud, and he goes, not his fault, is tight window throws. I've never seen guys more wide open. Wide receivers and O-line were the best in college football. When things go wrong and he is under pressure, he is horrible. Ooh, ouch. If Stroud switched places with Will Levis at Kentucky, what would the tape look like? Now, that is something that is fascinating that I've talked to you about. Like, what if Bryce Young is in Kentucky and Will Levis is over in Alabama?
Right.
I mean, like, if Will Levis played the whole year at Alabama, he might be the number one or number two
quarterback.
He would
look better.
He would look better, right? Who knows exactly how it would turn out? Bill O'Brien over there. But what do you make of the point there that that New York Lions trying to make?
Well, first off, like, if Stroud played in Kentucky, it would be better than what Levis looked like, okay? I don't have any doubt about that. So that's a transition there, right there. I can make that and go, no, there's no doubt. He's better than Will Levis in every category, except for pure arm power, and it's not that less than, right? So then tight window throws. Like, listen, he had some people open for sure. Tight window, like, watch the Michigan game. Watch the Georgia game. Watch the Penn State game. I mean, see, what I think people are not, like, taking into account is how easily and consistently he does it that you're just going, oh, yeah, 20-yard completion. And I'm sitting there on film going, this guy is all over this guy. And he just puts it in there like it's nothing. You remember the Michigan game, the go route down the right sideline to Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah.
He's fucking covered like glue.
Yeah.
It was glue. He threw the ball so far and so high that it allowed Marvin Harrison Jr., who was behind the defender, to now look up, and the defender plays DB for a reason, starts to choke, and he puts it on the money. You know, the fourth and two throw to number eight against Michigan, right? On the money. The guy drops it. In the end zone to number eight. On the money. Drops it. You know? Middle, down the middle, cover two, number eight. Covered like a blanket, on the money, drops it. I don't agree with those sentiments. You know, and again, there's open guys. I know that. They're a good football team. But, yeah, I saw plenty tight window throws. And then, again, the pressure thing where I don't understand, like, was he not under pressure against Michigan and Georgia? Was not pressure? Is he horrible in those games? Damn, he was horrible. You know, there's only one game where you could say horrible, and that's Northwestern slop fest of like rain and wind and impossible to play quarterback. That'd be the only game you can even go, whoa, that didn't look very good there.
Yeah. And like you said, some of those throws down the sideline, deep throws, tight windows, outside the numbers were very good. And DJ Holman saw that as well. So here is a defender of
your
ranking.
Well, first the New York Lions, I don't want to be mean there. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm the guy that hates the open throw guy. If it was wide open, I'd go, well, fuck, everybody's wide open all the time. That was my concern with Baker Mayfield and all those type of players. So I'm just letting you know, New York Lion, I saw way more than enough of, oh, my gosh, bullseye into tight coverage type throws.
And Chris doesn't hate you. You don't hate New York Lions. How could you hate a Lions fan?
Of course
you would never do that.
Right,
we're just pushing back on your assessment. DJ Holman, you're probably going to agree with some of this, but this is an interesting point he makes.
Yeah.
He goes, Chris, have you seen a college offense that asks their quarterback to throw as many far hash out throws than Stroud? Those are long throws. He goes, further than the NFL.
Yeah.
And you don't do that unless you trust the quarterback to have the arm to make that.
The arm and the decision maker.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
The decision maker goes into that too. Because a lot of guys are going to go, oh, I got the arm, I can do it. The quarterback's going to go, the coach is going to go, yeah, but you thought he could do it, and he's running the other way for a pick six.
Yeah.
You threw the 20-yard out route, but you were a little late, and it's a pick six. So there has to be both of those there. And yes, you're right, DJ Holman, you're right in my assessment of that. I mean, that's what blew me away. It was just one big-time NFL throw after another. You know, you can go through certain parts of games and go, has he thrown a ball under 5 yards yet? Has he thrown a screen yet? You know, okay, here's a screen. Okay, yeah, well, of course they got some. But then it's like it's seam and post and in cut and 20-yard out route and 10-yard out route from the far hash route and all of that. That's what blew me away. It was more than I remembered just watching on TV. So that is – again, I think we got a special thrower with a guy that's got a pretty damn special mind and ability to see the field that is really damn good.
C.J. Stroud probably will go number one to the Carolina Panthers.
I would be shocked if he doesn't.
But who knows? Could
I'll
go number
that.
Two to the
yeah.
Houston Texans.
Right.
Wherever he goes, probably in the top two, probably number one. That fan base is going to hope that he can buck the trend. And here is Shemp. Well, you're pointing to me, though.
Well,
like,
I like this
thing.
Question. I'm just seeing it, and I like this question.
Here's Shemp. How many quarterbacks from Ohio State have become franchise quarterbacks in the NFL? Justin Fields may work out, but the jury is still out. So that would be the worry for Carolina Panther fans out there that he is just another one of those failed Ohio State quarterbacks.
Like, I get it, but I don't get it. What's it got to do with Jack Diddley squat? Like, what's it got to do? These are different humans. These are other people that came from different coaching staffs. I mean – what's it got to do?
Yeah, Pete says the same helmet. So
that's right.
No, but I guess the idea is that things are so easy for quarterbacks.
Let me put
it this way. Quarterbacks.
I get it. I mean, listen, they're going to be, you know, they're Ohio State. They're arguably the greatest college organization in the history of college football. They always got talent there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and then. You know, does that lead to some misleading of quarterbacks or misevaluating because they're winning and their yards are good, right? So people jump onto that. But, like, what is some of these other past quarterbacks who were coached by different people have anything to do with C.J. Stroud? Let me ask you this. Should we not – they should have never drafted a quarterback out of Texas Tech, Kansas City. They should have never done that. We've never had one work. Why would they draft a quarterback out of Texas Tech?
Yeah.
None of them work.
And that quarterback's name?
Patrick Mahomes. Right. I mean, we can go down the list of guys like that where you go, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Oh, but they got him. Right? You should never draft a quarterback from Oregon. I've never seen one work. Never. Mariota was a bust. Joey Harrington, bust for your Lions. Bust after bust. Justin Herbert. No, we shouldn't have drafted him. Because of the guy that was drafted 30 years ago, we shouldn't draft this guy now. That's all I'm saying.
All right, so I'm going to look here at some quarterbacks. So here's some.
Are there quarterbacks, a quarterback like this.
So here's the deal, though. Are there some quarterbacks here that you thought were going to be good that weren't? So you had Terrell Pryor there, obviously Justin Fields, Dwayne Haskins.
Haskins I thought had a chance.
Cardale Jones.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, you know, you're missing
Art Schlichter in 1982.
Art Schlichter, right. I feel like we're missing one other one, but it wasn't a first-round pick or whatever. But
Bobby Hoeing,
Craig Krenzel, who won the national championship, all those. Yeah, okay, I know. There's no superstar quarterback to come out of the storied franchise or the storied college of Ohio State. It's rare, but maybe this is the guy that bucks the trend. This is one guy that I got less questions about or anything than I've seen from quarterbacks here in recent history. So, yeah, I'm a pretty big fan. But, yeah, don't couple that all together. That doesn't mean
– don't make him pay for the sins of former Ohio State quarterbacks.
Dwayne Haskins, that was Urban Meyer. C.J. Stroud's running a little bit of a different offense than Justin Fields was running too. They expanded. They did more. They did more in the drop-back pass game than Justin Fields had. So, I don't think you can just – say a statement like that and it holds true.
Tom Tupa?
Yeah.
Another bust. Hendon Hooker was the one that showed up on your list here, higher than most people's list.
Yeah.
So we have some questions from the homies on him.
Cool.
Rashad Dutt, homie that chimes in often here on the podcast, Kurt Warner. Ooh, he brings up Kurt Warner, pointed out that Hendon Hooker doesn't have a good overall understanding of defenses and where to go with the ball. He was breaking down the Georgia game. Do you share his concern? So this is out there. This is Kurt Warner did, I think, on his personal YouTube. He's got something outside of NFL Network.
Yeah, I saw a little of it.
All right, so the things that Kurt Warner pointed out in the video, do you share those concerns?
Not quite to the extent of Kurt Warner did there. You know, one is the first thing I'll say is, like, if we looked at the last 2 years of quarterbacks versus Georgia's defense, it ain't very good, right? So, like, I want to say, like, of all the games to pick to break down the player to show the world, we picked the defense that's the best defense in the decade and has dominated just about everybody. Mm. That kind of seemed unfair-ish to me. All right. You know, I hope he breaks down Will Levis's performance against Georgia, too. Right. He brought up some points. And in that game, do I think it was Hendon Hooker's best game and moments? No. But I also think he's taking liberties of, wait, this was my rule in 2003 with Mike Martz. And so this is his rule, too. And I'm going to go, no, it's not. There's offenses have different rules. You know, like, take for instance this. Just a little, like, background to these kind of things. You remember the playoff game, the Chargers-Jaguars, right? Trevor Lawrence threw 4 interceptions
right
in the first half. One of them was a shallow cross to Evan Engram. He's running the shallow cross. Now, I've been on, and I explained this at the time, I've been in offenses, same system, West Coast, one where they expected the shallow cross tight end to read the coverage. And if it's a zone, sit up. If it's not a zone, keep running, right? I've been a part of other West Coast, same system, where they went, we don't trust the tight end. We don't want them to read the coverage. With all these different crazy coverages to stay in the age in the NFL, we just tell them to run no matter what. I made a comment at halftime where I went, you know, oh, Trevor Lawrence can't throw the ball here. You know, he's got to see the backside defender. Somebody who Jason Garrett taught texted Jason Garrett, hey, tell Sims, we all know the tight end's got to read the coverage and sit there. Hmm. And I went, no, he's wrong. I played for teams that's not the way they teach it. They don't trust it. I asked Doug Peterson at the combine. You know what he does? I don't trust them. They always run it. The quarterback should know it's cover 2 zone and know the backside guy's there.
And then you go, call up Jason Garrett, tell him the Texas friend.
Well, I really did. I honestly did.
I don't doubt that.
You know me, right? I want to be like, tell that fucking guy who was trying to, like, kind of hate on me. Like, he was fucking wrong and I was right, all right? So that's what I'm saying. You know, so there's some liberties there of like, oh, I think the ball should go here. And I want to go, well, no, I've watched 5 or 6 games here. And when this is coverage, the ball goes here the whole time. And it's consistent. And then it was consistent what he carried over with Georgia. But then Georgia might have had a little bit of a wrinkle to the coverage. And they've seen the play on tape. And Kirby Smart's an awesome defensive coach. And, hey, wait, and they're killing everybody with this play and this coverage. You know, hey, I want to adjust it a little bit this week so they can't kill us when we play this coverage. Yeah. So then you're downgrading him for that. And you go, well, no, he's hit this play against this coverage 20 times all year. You know, they made an adjustment and they're screwing him over and nobody's taught him what to do off of this now, right? So that's where I would go. There's a little cherry picking there of not knowing exactly the rules, things like that. And he brought up some good points. I'm certainly not trying to disagree with Kurt Warner.
What
I know
were some
that.
Of the good points he brought up?
Well, there were some times where you go, well, I don't know why he's looking at here, or why he's hanging on this guy so long. He needs to get over all of those type of things, right? You know, there were certainly a few plays where I go, yeah, he's right here. But again, I don't, you know.
He's in the middle of the hurricane that is the Georgia defense.
Well, just
too.
Exactly. I mean, he's making so he's going, I'd like him to throw the ball here. And I want to go, well, this guy's not out of the break yet. And he's about to get hit in the face. So you can't throw the ball here.
Yeah.
You know, or this guy's his hot route, but he's running a shitty hot route. And you're saying, oh, I'd rather see him to go the ball here instead of this guy covered. And I want to go, no, this guy just ran a shitty route. He went to the ball the right place. The guy was open and he didn't come out of the break quick enough against this blitz. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Again, you can't, to me in this process, just microscope every play. You got to look at it as a broad thing. And damn, they throw the ball a ton, and he puts the ball in the right places time after time after time. Now, you know, hey, a few of those plays concerning, right? But that's where you got to meet the guy in person. Is he smart? Is he stupid? Did we teach him something and he pick it up right away? Okay, then fuck those two plays that we saw in Georgia that were concerning.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where that'll come in handy. But the overall body of work shows you that he's smart, he knows where to go with the ball, and, you know, he's able to process and see the field the right way, in my opinion. Again, you know, Georgia, they made a lot of guys not look good.
Whose quarterback take was worse on this podcast, New York Lion or Kurt Warner? That's the real question. That's what people want to know.
Oh, yeah, you're starting troubles with me and Kurt Warner.
I'm trying to. No, I think that's instructive, though, and I think –
There's nuance to some of that.
100%.
Okay, that's all I'm saying. I don't want to, you know, and then again, like I said, I just thought it was, you know, it's a little tough to pick that game of all games.
The nuance with where to take these quarterbacks.
Right.
Cody the Colts fan says, do you believe Richardson should be picked ahead of Hooker due to his age and his injury, or should that not scare the Colts? And so you ranked Hendon Hooker above Anthony Richardson. I think, you know, reasonable to assume that if you were a team, you would draft Hendon Hooker ahead of Anthony Richardson. But with that injury and the age, which you don't think is as big a deal.
I don't, but. But
you would take Hendon Hooker over Anthony Richardson
if
you were on the clock.
I would. To me, it's just is the ceiling as high? No. But is the floor higher? Definitely. You know, that's where I get it. And then, Where that's where they'll have to get into, how important is the age thing to them? I don't know. Again, I just look at it and go, if you draft a guy and you got a guy that's your 10-year starting quarterback, who gives a shit after the end he's 36 or 33? Like, who the fuck cares?
Yeah.
Can he play? Is he good? Let's go. Great. And then we'll reassess. And really, as we know, this is really four-year rentals anyways. So what are we so worried about what he's going to look like? You know, I made a joke like on Dan Patrick yesterday, like, people are acting like you're getting married, like you're going to roll over and be like in bed at 53 years old and go, is she still pretty? Or, no, she didn't age well at 53, right? Your significant other or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is quarterback in the NFL. 4 years from now, we'll see if you still want him. And then we'll move on to the next 4 years after that. So I don't, and I like the fact that he's played and been and he's mature. I don't look at that as a negative.
Yeah.
You know, I don't. I think that's a positive. But the health thing is what you got to feel comfortable with, you know, and I can't imagine that being a big issue here. Now, the other aspect of that Colts thing, too, is just like, where does Shane Steichen want to go? You know, Shane Steichen, I've seen his offense with Justin Herbert, and I went, ooh, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Shane Steichen and his offense with Jalen Hurts, I went, ooh, that is awesome. So what does he want to do here? Does he want to play Justin Herbert football, or does he want to play Jalen Hurts football? And that's, you know, they could go either way in that department. But I lean Anthony Richardson. He's, you know, more of what I like as far as a quarterback, and I think he is a safer prospect overall.
All right, so let's get into Anthony Richardson and some of the homies' questions about him. He is an athletic specimen. We all know that. But we want to compare him to a mystery quarterback to just see how giant and athletic he is. So the quarterback on the left, if you're watching, is Anthony Richardson, and it's one of those – what is that? Is that a pentagon? No, a pent is five. Octagon?
Octagon.
Yeah, eight things, octagon
or
hexagon, there.
Isn't it? Hexagon.
It's a gon of some sort.
It's six.
No, there's more than six there, isn't there?
Is there six sides right there? Oh, no, on the left there's more than six. On the right,
eight.
There's six.
Though. Wow. So
there's an octagon and a hexagon.
It's a double gone. So the one on the left, whatever it is Anthony Richardson. It basically fills up the whole thing because he's in the 90th percentile on almost everything. And the mystery quarterback on the right fills up very little of it. We do have a good 20-yard shuttle. We do have good height. But the broad jump, not good at all, in the 12th percentile. Who is that mystery quarterback on the right?
I think that's
there?
Me.
Oh, no.
That's what I think.
It is Chris Sims.
It is.
So what you did really well, like be tall. What happened in the broad jump? You didn't practice it, did you?
No, I'm just white and not that flexible in the hip area. So it's not that, that good in that department. that's bad.
That is. But look, we compared you to the freakiest of all freaks of all time. So
damn, 4.84. I thought I ran a faster time than that.
4.84.
Damn.
I mean, but they didn't practice like they do now for the combine, right? You actually have like training camp for the combine for a lot of these players.
Well, it's definitely
now,
more of a science than it, you know, now than it was then.
I'm going to give you an excuse,
man,
there.
Thank you. I'll take that.
Not
one.
That Anthony
you're
Richardson
right. I didn't work at it. I just lined up and ran it.
You're just like, this was like, give me a month, and those numbers would have been exactly like Anthony Richardson. Moose Maxwell 31. Is Anthony Richardson farther along than the... Oh, no, we already did this one last time. Oops, sorry about that one. That was the Trey Lance and Malik Willis. If you want the answer to that question, go back to the Monday pod. No, don't worry about that one. Let's go to Bruno Brooks then. Bruno Brooks won. Always been interested. How do you work out who has the highest, lowest ceiling? For example, why is AR ceiling higher than CJ's, who is the best currently? And I don't know if you've said that. Did you say that?
Well, I think I said Richardson had the highest ceiling of everybody. I mean, he does, yes. At his absolute best when you take away, when you just talk about, yeah, you know, again, his ability and the throws that he can make and the potential there. And then the running, which is not even potential. It's just like, damn, it's amazing already. And it potentially can get better. Mm-hmm. That's where I go with it, you know. And then, okay, yeah, I mean, if he is a worker and you can fix a few of these mechanical things, then you just go, oh, my gosh, well, yeah, we got a guy with the strongest arm in football, and he's one of the best runners in football. So that's where, you know, the ceiling. But those are big ifs.
Yeah.
You know? So that's where it is. Like, CJ's floor is up by the ceiling, right? And his ceiling can go higher, certainly. It can't maybe go as high as what Anthony Richardson could be if he absolutely reaches the total top potential in every area and all of that. No, you know, but yeah, so that's where I balance it, you know, a little bit. But damn, I mean, the ceiling for Stroud is also extremely high, you know. But yeah, I mean, we're talking about a guy in AR here that's doing things and is built a way that we've never seen in the history of football.
Dorian Thompson-Robinson from UCLA is not built the same way, but right. You like what you saw on tape. And so did, oh, man, what is this name, Pete? Himhurts 5 Henry. Himhurts 5 Henry. There we go. You got it. Himhurts 5 Henry. Thanks for writing in. This is more of a comment than a question, which was illuminating to me. He goes, Dorian Thompson-Robinson threw the ball 62 miles an hour at the Combine. Same as Josh Allen. Tied for the fastest ever recorded at the Combine. Stroud and Will Levis hit 59 miles per hour.
Hey, this is what I'm trying to tell people. You know, this is where I don't get it. You know, even Dan Patrick, he started to think like me yesterday. He goes, wait, if you put DTR on Alabama, don't you think we're talking about a top 10 pick? And I go, damn, Dan, you're starting to think like me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's 4 inches taller. He's got a stronger arm. He's faster straight away. Okay, he's not quite the good decision maker that Bryce Young is, but it's not like it's far off. Out of all the quarterbacks with, like, you know, what I call slickness, you know, the different arm angles, getting it out quick, I mean, he's arguably second. So that's where he deserves to be in this conversation. And yeah, his arm is, the power is real. It's real. Like, you know, it can be a little too long of a wind up at times, which I don't love. But I'm not, you know, I wasn't shocked when all said and done after watching film to go back and see that he threw it the hardest. I didn't go, oh, whoa, that's shocking. Certainly, you know, usually even my dad, he watched DTR, and he was like, he came to me and he was like, he wanted to make sure or justify what he was watching. He was like, wait, am I having an off day or something? Or is this DTR like really good? And I was like, like off the chains good, Dad. Like I couldn't get over it. And it's just odd that it's so little buzz and a guy checks that many boxes. It's weird. It really is. It's weird.
So at the top of the podcast, I did the whole consensus thing and what people think. I have locked in the consensus right now.
Yeah.
And so we're going to compare next year at this time.
Right.
Like how your picks stand up to when you made the picks and what everyone was talking about.
Right.
Because right now, Dorian Thompson-Robinson is consensus 10th quarterback off the board.
Yeah.
Pick like number 193 in the draft if people mock it that far.
Well, I feel like ever since I did my rankings, too, the consensus on Hendon Hooker has gone up as well.
You're starting to hear him as more of like a first-rounder
now.
Now he's a first-rounder,
and I want to be like, nobody said this like 4 days ago. Now he's a first-rounder.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm glad. Keep track of it. I like it.
Will Levis, there are some concerns there that you shared. And so he's been a guy that's been in the top four or five that, who knows, could fall after your pod. If more and more people listen to the Monday pod, perhaps he goes down.
Right.
West Kruger says, how much of Levis's decline was due to a new offensive coordinator, bad offensive line, lack of weapons, and playing through injuries, which is something I don't think we mentioned necessarily Monday. He did play through a foot, a finger, and shoulder injuries last season.
How could he not be beat up? He took shot after shot. I yes. all of that is a I took into account. I did not love the offense. You know, I don't. I do want to know how much of that is him, maybe. Yeah, the O-line certainly struggled. Not a ton of wide-open receivers or anything like that. I mean, yeah, the game was tough for him. It really was. And not because of his own doing, you know, in that way. But, again, it's still, I mean, you know how it is. It's like I just said with C.J. Stroud. Like, there's enough here to go through and go, hey, this guy's open. You should hit that. Hey, you know, wait, the pocket's clean. Why are your mechanics like that? Why are you stepping like this? Wait, the pocket's clean. Why are you floating this way into, pressure? So there's enough to glean from it or go, hey, wait, this guy's open. Damn, you're too good to miss the five-yard shallow cross. What? Come on. Like, what? So, you know, yeah, all that stuff did not play in his favor. But and I certainly and take all of that into account. I do. You know me. I love being the guy to point out and go, whoa, nobody was open. Like, it was Justin Herbert had some of these.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's ever open. The offense isn't that great. Okay, yes, but he didn't have some of these other negatives, too. He didn't miss the shallow cross. You know, he didn't make crazy bad decisions at times. He didn't just chuck the ball into people and crowds at times, right? He didn't have throws where I go, oh, this guy's open and it should be a big play, and yet it's a 25-yard gain because it wasn't that accurate. So, you know, all of that was taken into account, but certainly it was tough sledding for the guy, and that's what I do respect about him. The talent's real.
Yeah.
He took a fucking beating, and he hung in there and kept pulling the trigger and playing tough, and that's where I do like him a whole lot.
And he works out in the weight room. He's rocked up, but maybe he needs to be a little more rocked down there. Ross Smith agreed with you. He said it feels like he can't feel the blind side at all, and so his comment was
the blind side, the soft spot of the pocket, when not to leave the pocket. You know, again, these are things you can work on, certainly. But he was the least in that department out of all the quarterbacks.
All right, the also in the conversation quarterbacks now. We promised that we would talk about some of them coming up here today.
Yeah.
And Jack Haener was a guy that you did mention.
Yeah.
Would he be number six? I know we don't, or I guess seven.
Yeah.
But would he be the next quarterback? Is that what you're thinking here? So Fresno State guy.
Yep.
And by the way, Annie tweeted you and said, is Jack Haener this year's Brock Purdy? Everyone's going to be looking for this year's Brock Purdy.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't think he's not number six. Or okay. Number seven, you should say. Yeah, you're right. I'm forgetting that I have six in my top five. Yeah. No, I'm not going to say he's there.
Yeah.
I think my...
What about the Brock Purdy, though? The guy that's taken super, super late that surprises some people.
I love this kid in every area other than two.
Uh-oh.
He's small.
6 foot, 207.
Right. So it's not Bryce Young small, but he's slow.
Oh.
Like, weirdly slow.
What?
Yeah. For the guy that kind of looks as athletic as he does and, you know, for that size. Yeah. It's a little bit like, whoa, what? Come on. Are you running full speed? But he is. And I'm not trying to say that to be funny. But the other stuff, like with the Purdy thing, yeah. You talk about a natural field to play the position, great at reading, a whole bag of clubs as far as different throws. And the other element, and you know I'm big into this, is NFL-type throws. That's what I'm in. Oh, hey, somebody's in my face. I can't step into it. But the 10-yard in-cut's there. He's open, and coach is going to go, hey, he's fucking open, and you're not getting tackled. Throw it. He can lean on his back foot and change his arm angle or doesn't have to step into it. A lot of quarterbacky things that I look at that way. So he has a little bit of that Brock Purdy, a natural feel for the game, a natural at the quarterback position, pretty good arm, incredibly accurate, great decision maker, but small and really slow. And that bothers me. But I'm not going to say he's seven. Seven would have been Max Duggan for me.
Ooh.
Yeah. The TCU quarterback.
Yeah.
Number eight probably would have been Clayton Tune from Houston.
Ooh.
And then I would have probably got to at Haener at number nine there, which, again, Haener I really like. I certainly nine sounds like it's long down the road there, but I really like some of the things he does at that position.
What'd you like about Duggan?
Duggan, to me, a little rawness, but out of these down-the-line guys, is the only guy that I look at to go, ooh, he could be a starting quarterback in the NFL one day. That's where he, to me, looks a little bit, you know, almost like what I said with Richardson, just needs to be taught one or two things, and he has some big-time potential. But he's a twitchy athlete. He has an explosive arm. You know, another guy that can make big throws from weird, awkward positions, hangs in the pocket tough, you know, has a thickness and a build that I like, and then, of course, runs 4.5. So, yeah, he's the guy that I look at to be maybe a middle-round guy where I go, ooh, but, yeah, he could be the middle-round guy that could be starting quarterback for a team here.
That's
two, 3 years down the
pretty
road.
Pretty good in the RPO game.
Definitely.
He had 28 career rushing touchdowns.
That's what I mean. There's a real threat there. He can lower his shoulder. There's a thickness to him that I like. You know, he was one of the more pleasant surprises of the whole situation for me.
And since you mentioned him too, Clayton Toon from Houston, what'd you like about him?
Well, Toon, you know, good athlete, can play the position, beautiful spirals, great timing and rhythm, you know, really can play quarterback. To me, he's like, there's only one thing that bothered me really about him. It's just like urgency in his throw. Every throw was the same. Every throw was the 5-iron, right? Mm. And I wanted to go, where the fuck's the driver every now and then? Like, look, can we rip one? Can we speed up the process every now and then? Or is everything just going to be smooth and smooth? Which is okay, right? That's okay. But you know, that doesn't lend yourself to, you know, being in the top round of the draft or anything like that. But, you know, when I look at him, I think of like a bigger Bailey Zappi. Right? Somebody like that. I think he's got a potential to be a really good backup for a long, long time.
6'2", 220, was a 3- or 4-year starter, 3-time team captain. So good leader, Clayton Toon. Maybe some team will get a steal out there. You know a name you haven't mentioned?
Yeah.
Stetson Bennett.
Ooh, I know.
From Georgia.
I know.
And King Tantamani says, where's Stetson Bennett? I will put him ahead of Will Levis.
Well, okay, King. That's why you don't have my job, and I do, right? Okay, I respect Stetson Bennett for sure, but, man, he plays really small. His arm's not bad, right? But, like, I think when you really break it down, here's two things that are just – His arm is not bad, okay. He's a decent athlete. It's nothing special. His decision-making is not as good as I was expecting. You know, again, they're a little bit of like, they're so good you forget about some of his bad plays during a game. Mm. You know, decision-making is not as good. Way too many slam dunk, this should be a huge play, this should be 20 yards, and we missed the throw altogether. You know, a little bit of like what I talked about in the quarterbacks in years past where I go, yeah, he misses a 20-yard wide open completion. He misses a 50-yard go route, and then they run the draw play up the middle for 40 yards, and everybody just goes, oh, Stetson Bennett put together a good drive. And then the next play he throws a slant route and then hits another wide open guy, and the narrative is, Stetson Bennett put together a good drive. And I want to go, no, they should have scored 5 plays ago. You know, they should have had another 30 points today. So, no. No, you know, honestly, I'm not going to lie. It makes me think of where he would be if he wasn't on Georgia. That's really the thing that, you know, comes to me. But he played a lot. He's got experience, and there is some value to that.
You know, Cuz Lightyear is saying that, quote, and Cuz Lightyear is a homie as well, tweeting it.
Cuz Lightyear, I love it.
Age is literally keeping a 2-time Natty MVP off of these lists. Game film isn't. And you would push back on that by saying you have some old dudes on your list with Hendon Hooker and DTR.
Exactly right. I don't care about the age thing at all. What I care about is a guy that's, really small, plays small, not that fast, is not as a good decision maker as you think, is not as good of an accurate thrower as you think, and he played on the All-Star team. So, yeah, that's what I'm going to say. You know, and again, I think he ends up probably being a sixth round pick, somewhere in that. That's the interesting thing about the quarterback conversation too. I mean, generally it's like you're either in round 1, start of round 2, or nobody goes till round 4 again. It's kind of how it goes, and that's where I'm interested to see how this all lays out.
Well, so Stetson Bennett's like 5'11". The guy from Stanford, Tanner McKee, is 6'6", 231. So he is a giant. And this one comes from DJ118GB on Twitter. He goes, what about Tanner McKee? I'm loving him as a two- or three-round pick for the Raiders. Looks to have great feet.
He does have some quick feet. He does. It's the other stuff. I don't think he's – I think he's way later down the road. I think he's – you know, he does have size. When he puts it all together, he's got a pretty strong arm, you know, and he does have some quick feet. But, man, there's some mechanics that are all over the place. I don't love his body. Overall, as an athlete, he's not a very good athlete. He's very jumpy in the pocket. It's a lot of short throws. You know, there's just too many things for me that I just didn't like. And, yeah, I don't look at it to be any starter potential or mid-round quarterback potential. You know, he's nowhere near even in the Davis Mills conversation for me as a quarterback in that way. So he was not my favorite. And the ball, too, you know, with throws that are down the field or outside the numbers, I mean, he loses control of it a lot. So, yeah, he was not my favorite. I think he's more towards the later part of the draft.
All right, two more questions, team-specific here. My Detroit Lions are in the mix, maybe for a quarterback now. I said at the beginning of the offseason, I go, I don't want him to take a quarterback. Jared Goff's the guy. They got to beef up the defense. Well, they have beefed up the defense in free agency, and especially their secondary. And so,
and you do have two picks in the first round.
Melcher 23 says, make the case for the Lions to grab a quarterback with their number six pick, even if they have to trade up. The highest pick ever from a defending Super Bowl champ falls in your lap on the way up the contending ladder. Don't let an adequate quarterback keep you from drafting what could be a game changer.
I don't disagree with that. I think they need to think about this, you know, and then just think about along with that. I think in the process, it's just how sold are we on, you know, Jared Goff? Is he definitely the future? Is he definitely the guy, right?
Definitely the present, I think.
Definitely the present, right. But do we think more than the next year, right? That's where they're going to have to come. Because if they're not, then that's where you might have to think about, wait, yeah, it's good. We're dealing the deal with this, but we see a lot of potential for Hendon Hooker. Oh, hey, he's got a torn ACL. This is a perfect situation for him. Goff can play. He can heal, and he can come along that way. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me in that way. But, yeah, I could see them being a secret under the radar, you know, doing their due diligence here. And if one of these guys that they fancy falls to them, I wouldn't be shocked to see that happen. Or even, what is the second pick they got in the first round? Pick 11 or 12?
18.
Well, that could be the area, too, where the Hendon Hooker conversation comes in. And you start to go, we're sitting here at 18 and he's there? Okay, we're going with him. I could see that.
Blue and Silver 8 said that exact same thing. He goes, is Hooker at 18 for Detroit a stretch?
I don't think so.
So you say, I don't think so.
I think Hendon Hooker for me is a top half of the first round pick. I mean, I know, again, I don't know how people are going to view the ACL and the age thing, you know, but quarterback ACL, that's not really a huge concern for me.
Yeah.
You know, in the year of 2023, that would be an awesome move.
So how about the Falcons, too? Because where do they pick in the first round? Where
They're seven.
They're seven.
Yeah.
Swish B says, am I crazy for thinking Atlanta is a match made in heaven for Anthony Richardson?
No, you're not. I think about that all the time. You remember me early in the offseason, I kept thinking Atlanta maybe would be one of those teams that makes a play for Lamar Jackson. Mm. One, the style of play would make sense for Anthony Richardson. We know Atlanta, they want to run the ball, play Tennessee, Mike Vrabel-type football. Oh, shit, now we got to worry about, you know, Anthony Richardson's ability to run the ball, too. And, oh, shit, now he's throwing lasers to Kyle Pitts and Drake London. Damn, we're in a little bit of a bind here as a defense. You're not crazy. You're not at all. And, again, too, you know, you don't need him right away. If you got Desmond Ridder there, you know, he's played a little bit, and he played a lot in college to where, okay, he can hold down the fort for a little while. I don't look at Desmond Ridder as being their long-term answer. I don't know how they feel about that. Obviously, they feel good about it right now. But, yeah, Anthony Richardson's style of football play, and like I said, it's Atlanta. It's the capital of black people, African-American people. And I've told you my experiences there. One, I've heard through the grapevine that Arthur Blank would love to have an African-American quarterback. Yeah, it makes sense, right? Sells tickets, you know. But hey, a lot of the fans are black. It excites them, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And man, Ahmed, one of my coolest times ever as a pro was in that stadium in Atlanta, and when Michael Vick was the quarterback.
Oh man!
I mean, that place was buzzing. It was amazing. They had a DJ in the third row playing songs. And you were like, damn, am I at the club or am I playing a football game? This is awesome. I mean, this is pregame I'm talking about. When the game started, you knew it was a game. But
yeah,
that's what a guy like Anthony Richardson could add that element to the Atlanta area where I think they're starving and they want that kind of guy there to be the head of their football team.
How is Anthony different or the same as Michael Vick?
I mean, listen, Michael Vick, the dog thing hurts my heart. All right.
Yeah.
I don't mean to even go there.
Yeah.
If you took that away, Michael Vick is one of my favorite people ever. Ever. Me and Mike are like, he would tell you, we're buddies. We've been two peas in a pod. Right. I don't disagree with that situation and whatever he did there. I think it's a deeper subject, too, though, than people want to give it credit for at times. But what I think they both, I don't know Anthony Richardson, but seems charismatic,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Seems like he's the kind of guy that can get people to follow him, just like Michael Vick could, you know? And then has transcendent ability that if you just show work ethic and it's going in the right direction, everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon and be with you, right? And that's what with Michael Vick. It was like, holy shit, his arm. Holy shit, he can run. Holy shit, both together. And he loves football. And he's a good guy. And he's, you know, tough. And I see some of those qualities with Richardson.
Yeah.
You know? And then, like I said, if he's willing to work and he shows he can learn and pick up things in a hurry, then I wouldn't be so worried about, you know, hey, on film in this game, his eyes weren't in the right spot. And I wish he would have get off this receiver a little quicker, all that. You know, again, that stuff can be fixed.
Michael Vick's so fun to watch.
Oh,
it was like
my
when
gosh.
He was about to take off, just the feeling in the stadium
what?
And watching on TV, you're just like, oh, my God.
It'd be 3rd and 19, and I'd be biting my nails going, we're not going to stop him.
Yeah.
He's going to throw a laser? Oh, no, he's running. It's worse. He's running.
Yeah.
Are we going to tell? Oh, he only got 18.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I think they're going to punt. Are they going to punt? Okay, yeah, they're going to punt. Thank God.
Just one of those players like Justin Fields last year where it makes other players who are also very fast look like they're running in slow motion.
It was insane.
Yeah.
Insane. And I was playing for the Bucs, and we had one of the fastest defenses in football and played Tampa 2 where everybody's eyes were on him at all the times, and you still couldn't stop him.
All right, so that is it.
That is
a look at a deeper look.
Deeper look.
At your top, which
AMA,
are actually 6 quarterbacks.
Ask me anything from the homies. Hey, homies out there that I was a little tough on some of your questions.
Yeah.
Hey.
Kurt Warner.
Yeah. I don't think he's one of the homies. Yeah. But I don't know. I just wear my heart on my sleeves at times, and I just tell it how it is. I hope you didn't take any of that personal. People who were telling me about certain pressures and issues that way. It's not personal. It's not. I've worked hard at this. I've done a lot of research and studied it all. So, yeah, I'm pretty adamant about some of my thoughts, but don't want to deter anybody from listening or sending in questions.
No.
I hope not.
I think they like it. It's an honor.
All
it's
right,
like
good,
you've bestowed
good.
Upon a homie good. Like getting clapped at.
All right,
you
good.
Know? The clap back.
Yeah, the clap back. Okay, cool. All right, well, you know where to find us. We'll be back Monday. Wide receiver time.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. The lists just keep cranking out. It's the list time of the year, but you know where to find us. Subscribe, rate, review. Monday, we will continue with wide receivers. We got DBs next week. We're going to continue to crack through all positions in the NFL, along with staying up to date on all relevant NFL news. Ahmed, you the man. Way to go today. Thanks for driving the ship. Morgan, way to go. Morgan was great today. She smiled and laughed at some of my jokes, so I felt better about myself.
Live All studio right. reaction.
Yes, live studio reaction. Everybody be good. Have a good rest of your week. Safe weekend. We'll see you Monday. Peace out. Clap it up.
Clap it up.